Chapter 26. A couple of hours later, we were back in Veda's apartment, trying on our suits. Sophie figured, since we were going there, that she'd just relay our theory about the basilisk in person. Sage listened to her for a few moments, and then held her hand up to stop her.
"I think you may be right."
"What?"
we all echoed with shock.
"I'm done with the samples. I finished right before you got here. There is definitely something strange about them. They are like nothing I have ever seen before,"
Sage told us.
"At first, I thought the scale was a compressed form of different types of collagen, chicken sternum mostly, that had been mixed with ground-up snake skin."
"How did you go from known animal parts to unknown substances?"
Veda asked, wildly excited.
"Oh, there was a strange color running through the samples. It was so faint, I almost missed it. Once I dissected a single cell that contained the color, I could see the abnormality wasn't chicken or snake. It was human. So while there are still animal parts, they are fused with human DNA. It's like they were grown together."
Sage looked at Sophie.
"It's not unlike your samples of canine and human, and I was looking for it. I almost missed it with this."
"You mean to tell me the animal and human parts were grown into that scale?"
I asked, suddenly doubting science.
"That's exactly what I'm telling you,"
Sage said, as excited as Veda.
"I'd love to stay and run some more tests, but I have to be getting back to my own lab soon. Otherwise, I'd stay and show you the process, Veda."
Veda's face changed from excited to sad to happy and back to sad.
"I would have loved that. Is there any way you'd consider coming back? Or I am more than happy to fly to your lab." "I'd love to have you up to my lab,"
Sage said, obviously happy to have a true science nerd friend.
"You'll have the best time."
I chuckled to myself and cleared my throat to interrupt politely.
"We really need to be going."
We decided to board the ship right before dark that time. We were hoping to have a bit more visibility than the last time we'd been there. Sage pouted a little, knowing Veda was being swept away.
"I'll go clean up the lab and get packed then."
Veda walked Sage back to the lab and returned, depressed, a few minutes later.
"I'm going to dream about those samples until the day I fly to go see her lab. The place sounds fantastic."
Delaney put her arm around Veda to comfort her and prodded her to get into her suit. 15 minutes later, we were back in Veda's silent engine boat and headed back to the ship. The sun had just ducked below the horizon, so there was a faint glow bright enough to light our way without the use of headlights. We took a slow tour around the ship, examining it from the water to see where passengers may be getting off. As far as we could tell, nothing looked abnormal. There were no broken windows or hatches of any kind. Once we discerned that the ship was still in the same condition it had been in the last time we were there, we stopped the boat in the same place we had the last time we were there. Veda had packed 2 sets of the magnetic handles so we could work in 2 groups and get up the side of the ship even faster. Making certain our masks and regulators were in place, we started our climb. Veda, Delaney, and I used 1 set of handles, while Sophie and Freya used the other. Sophie led Freya, and after placing the first few handles on the side of the ship, she looked over at me and rolled her eyes. She hadn't realized how cumbersome it was to place the heavy magnets overhead while not falling. Regardless, both our groups reached the top at the same time. Sophie and I stepped up on our top handles at the same time and looked over the side of the ship at the deck. Our heads whipped to look at each other as our hearts started pounding and we both crouched down. I ripped my regulator from my mouth.
"What the hell was that?"
Sophie was visibly shaking as she clung to the side of the ship. She took out her regulator and answered,
"The passengers."
"What the hell are they doing on deck? And why are they crawling?"
I whispered, glancing up and hoping I wasn't heard. I replaced my regulator and slowly raised myself so that just my eyes were over the edge of the ship. The deck, abandoned and dusty the last time I'd seen it,
was now covered with bodies. Some passengers were crawling on all fours, while others were almost slithering along the hard wood. None of them seemed to have any purpose to their movements, and it reminded me of looking into a carton full of maggots. I noticed a gleam of brighter light coming from in between the passengers here and there, and when I looked closer, I saw IV tubes and bags being pulled along beside them. The bags were shrunken and empty. Sophie joined me in examining the disturbing sight. She removed her regulator once more.
"Some of them are dead."
Looking closer, I spotted a dead body. It was completely shriveled. The other passengers acted like it wasn't there. Then I heard it. My heart had been pounding in my ears so heavily that I'd missed the sound before. The passengers were mumbling in weak whispers.
"Can you hear what they are saying?" I asked Sophie.
She turned her head and focused on the sounds, then shook her head.
"Not really. A few words here and there. There are too many of them. Their tones sound so hurt, though."
"Like they are in pain?" I asked.
"No, like they are sad and scared and such," she replied.
We tucked our regulators back in our mouths and looked down just as Delaney removed hers and yelled up at us.
"What are you waiting for?"
Sophie and I ducked down and shook our heads at Delaney, trying to tell her to be quiet. But there wasn't really any way for her to understand us. As I reached for my regulator to remove it once more, a weak hand landed on top of mine on the side of the ship. Sophie started squealing as one of the passengers pulled themselves up and looked over the side of the ship at me. She finally managed to remove her regulator and tried to reach for me as she yelled down to the girls,
"Go back! Go back!"
She couldn't reach me, and it was only seconds before a passenger latched onto her hand as well. They were using us as handles to pull themselves up. The other girls started climbing down as quickly as they could, but it wasn't fast enough. For being too weak to stand, I was shocked at how tight a grip the passenger who had a hold of me was. It was a man. His hair was long, as was his beard. There was a pain in his face, mixed with confusion. When he looked down and our eyes met, a sense of relief seemed to cross his face. He pulled on me one more time, slowly slid his knee up on the side of the ship beside himself, and then pushed off. As he toppled over the side of the ship, he let go of my hand. I ripped it away from the deck rail, stepped down once, and grabbed the magnet handle I just vacated.
"What the hell was that?"
Veda screamed up after the body hit the water.
"It was a passenger," I yelled down at her.
"We have to get out of here."
"We've got a bigger problem,"
Sophie hollered, looking above her. I followed her gaze and saw passengers starting to converge on our location, some with their hands locked on Sophie.
"I'm going to try to get over to you," I called out.
Freya had moved down below Sophie, leaving a handle free, so I stretched my leg out to try to reach it. I could get the very edge of my boot on it. Knowing I was going to have to jump, I tucked my regulator in my mouth so it wouldn't flop around and hit me in the face. I scooted as far to the edge of my own handles as I could and took a deep breath. Then I leapt. My foot landed squarely on the handle, and I grabbed Sophie by the waist, yanking on her. I pulled her away from the ship far enough to grab the handle she was stretched over. The force of me pulling her dislodged her hand from the crawling passenger, and her body swung around, being held up by nothing but my arm. I tightened my grip on my handle and her as the inertia swung both of us around. Her shoulder banged into the side of the ship, and she bounced back, wrapping her hands around my waist. With her holding on, I could let go of her and steady us. The moment she saw I had a good grip on the handle, she slid down me until her feet landed on the handle below us. She was down the side of the ship and back in the boat in a flash, but not before two more passengers flung themselves off the side of the ship.